From the Lighthouse Chapel International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Osabre will inspire you with rare teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord and to do your best for Him. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now listen to Victor Collins Osabre.
Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you for bringing us together. We worship, we adore, and we glorify you. Lord, we attribute everything that we are, everything that we are able to do, everything that defines our existence, we attribute it to you. And therefore, we glorify you and we worship you tonight. We are not ignorant that if we are alive, it is because you have kept us alive. We are not ignorant about that. We say, receive your glory tonight. Receive your praise tonight. And as we've gathered in your presence, we have come to the one who sustains us, gives us life, and causes us to move in this world freely. Lord, we pray you speak to us tonight. You help us tonight. You enlighten us tonight. Let us live our lives the way you want us to live them, oh God. Because you are the sustainer of the life we have. Thank you that we are not living the same as we came. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. All right. Tonight I want to share with you about beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. Beyond the grave. Well, all of us are going to die. So I want to encourage you, go to not the parlor, go to the mortuary. Georgetown Hospital mortuary. Pay that place a visit. If there's any place you spend money and want a visa to go to, please, it's the mortuary. Because you need to understand that human life, the body you have, the life you currently have, a day will come where all that we think we are physically wouldn't make sense anymore. That your nice face wouldn't matter anymore. Your nice body wouldn't matter anymore. When you get to the mortuary, you understand that we have to serve God. Because when you see how people die and how they... I always try to compare the pictures that people show when some relative or some loved one dies. That picture, that image, and the dead person. If you put the two together, you ask yourself, what is the missing thing here? The missing thing is not a beautiful face. The missing thing is not the breast. The missing thing is not the buttocks. The missing thing is not even the lightness of your complexion or the darkness of your complexion. It's not the wig. It's not the eye shadow. It's not the mascara. It's not the face powder. It's not the shoes. The missing is, it when you see a dead body, you realize that. So is this all that it is to be? You will realize that one day when you are no more, we will take you and throw you away. I will say, throw you away.
Because if you are so important, when you die, we should keep your body right in the house. Right on the bed. Every day you should be in the bed. We should come and say good morning to you. Every morning, after you are dead, every morning we should come and see you. And that day is coming for everybody sitting down here. You better think about it earlier than later. That there is something called beyond the grave. The tombs you see when you drive on Cemetery Road. People go and whitewash it. Mother's Day, go and paint it. Father's Day, go and weed around it. There is something beyond that thing you are seeing. Yeah. Whether you are born again or not, it is very important to understand that there is something beyond the grave. The most important place is not the grave. What is important? It's beyond it. It's beyond it. It's beyond it. Whatever is here now doesn't matter. It's not permanent. Can you think of yourself lying down one day? And we have to use super glue to keep your mouth closed. Even your eyes. They say that people who steal a lot, when they die, their eyes don't close. You have to put some super glue. Those who try to steal from Republic Bank, you have to put super glue. And keep the eye closed. They should have stolen the money. Why not? If they had called me, I would have prayed for them to have stolen, become successful. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I would think beyond the grave, our lives would be very different. Think about the things that we live for. Think about it. The so-called things we live for. Where are you taking it? Where is it going? The house? Take it with you. You see, when we understand what happens beyond the grave, we will become very humble and loving people. Solomon said it. And we will come to that point where we will agree with Solomon 200%. That all is vanity. You see, when you work hard and you get money in this world, it's problems. When you don't work and get money also, it's problems. There is nothing here on earth that you do that really will do anything for you, but the things that God wants us to do. Even in Guyana, it's very sad. You see, when somebody dies, it's sad already. But in Guyana, when somebody dies in Guyana, it's double sad. Why do I say that? I say that because if you were to open your eyes at the burial ground and see how people drinking alcohol and dancing because you are dead. They are happy you are gone. Yeah. People selling alcohol, coming to your funeral with short dresses, with their bobbies showing. Somebody is looking out at your funeral, looking for a boyfriend at your funeral. I don't know, happy you are dead. They're happy you are dead. Now, if you are very sad that somebody is dead, you should come with some mad people clothing that people say, hey, what is happening? Oh, this is the brother of the person who's dead, though. He can't catch himself. He's so sad. People go and buy dress that same day. People go and buy clothes. You wait. You are also next in line. You wait. You are next in line. You don't do hair, nails. Put on dark shades. Hey. Huh. I mean, It's a whole event. The money that people spend just to throw you away. One day when you are dead, we can't keep you in the house for a day. Now you go in, you sleep. You come out, you go in, you sleep. You come out, you go in, you sleep. It's the same way your life is also. There's something living in you. It is living in you. You lie down, you wake up, it's active. You lie down, you wake up, it's active. One day, just as you can't go back into your house, one day, it will also not come back into you anymore. You wake up and it's gone. And we need to understand it. And we need to tell others about this thing here. That brother, sister, I love you. I don't know what you are thinking. I don't know how you understand life, but there is something beyond the grave. There's something beyond the grave. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, there is a life after death. There's something beyond the grave. A day will come. What God said will happen. He told Eve, our great grandmother, He said, the day you eat of this the fruit of this tree, you will die. Death came. One day, the spirit that God breathed into us, that spirit will leave. When somebody dies, medically, there are things that defines the death of a person, medically. But the Bible doesn't look at that. Medically, your heart will have to stop. It's one of the signs. Your brain must die. Your pupils, they must be dilated. But the Bible does not think about this. The Bible says that you die when your spirit leaves your body. James chapter 2 and verse 26. It says that for us, the body without the spirit. In the Bible, you die when your spirit is no more in your body. And that day is coming. One day, the spirit that God gave you, the life that God gave you, one day that life is going to go off like that. It's going to go off. Your body will be left here. In fact, Apostle Peter talks about it as a tent. We are living in a tent. Because of the tabernacle. This, if our earthly tabernacle, it's a tent. Of course, you have to make sure that it's clean and it's in order. But that shouldn't be the focus, because there is something beyond when you go down there. Have you been to a mortuary before? No, you should try. You should go and see how they'll put a man on you. You'll be lying down like that, they'll put a man on you because there's no space. They'll put a man on you. Mouth to mouth, well, bottom to everything. And you can't say anything. If you like, say, hello, please, remove this mouth from in front of my face. Say that when you are there. Naked. Naked. Yeah, I remember when my mother died, I went to the mortuary to, we're going to inquire about her body and something like that. And I went and I mentioned, I'm looking for, I mentioned my mother's name. They say they don't work here with names. They work with numbers. Can you believe it? Right here, when your body is somewhere, the people, the undertakers, the people who work in the mortuary do not remember the, what is the name for? It's box one, box two, number one, shelf, number shelf, the top shelf, number one. You Hey, you mentioned a number. I tell you. They said a man cannot come for his mother. A woman must come for the woman. Because of how the state is. The breast is melted. When they brought my mother's body to the house, then they said that the sons should come and organize the body out of the car. So my brother, my big brother, myself, and my kid brother, we went inside. She was wrapped. We took her body from the car.
hard as anything, took her into the living room, put her on the ground. Mommy has come home, but she has to lie down on the ground. Her room was right there. No, on the ground, in the living room. There's a bed in the living room. We turned the living room into a bigger bedroom with a bed. We have contractors who decorate the place with blinds and flowers and trees and all of that. Took every furniture out of the living room. Bed in the middle. They put it on the floor like that. Then the people who dressed them, he told us to go. I said, go where? What is here that I can see, that you can see? It was amazing. Took off the clothes, took off the wrapping, whatever fabric that was wrapped. The breast is gone. When they laid her on the bed, they had to take newspaper and push it here. Because they tried to put on something, they put on the dress and the things like that. So in the dress, this thing is gone. That thing that you go around shaking and have even put tattoo on. You have put tattoo. Let people touch someone. Let people touch. Once you are alive, let people touch it all. This thing that you have here. Let this man touch it all. Let him touch it. Let him drink it. Let him feel it. All kinds of things. So we see what the people who were putting my mother on the bed had to take newspaper. 75-year-old woman, newspaper to stuff this thing. So as she was lying down, it will appear that there is something. Nothing is there anymore. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. I said, one day it will be like that. At least, like I said, in Ghana, at least when you die, it's nice because people cry. It's sad. I mean, people cry. People holler. People, all kinds of things. But you, they organize mommy in a, you know, in the living room, big living room. Put her there Friday night. Just lying on a bed Friday night in the living room. We were there all the whole night. This wake that people play domino and drink and eat, I don't know that kind of wake. People are happy. Hey, you are dead and people are happy. People are doing wake. What is wake? 12 o'clock you go is wake? What do you mean by wake? Which part of it is wake? Cook up. That's when people come for cook up. And they pack bags into black bags and they take it home. You die and see. I said, you die and see. Especially in Guyana. My God. Yeah, macaroni and cheese. Hey. I pray I don't die in Guyana. No, wake? You talking about wake? The body that the person who is there that we are, the body is right there as we are doing the wake. That's what we call wake. It's not this wake that you go and eat, cook up, and then they say you can't go home with your slippers or you can't enter with your front. You have to enter with your back. When there's not even a dead body there at the wake. What about us? Who we are there at the wake. And the body is lying down right there in the house. People are sitting right around the body. I mean, if it's my mother, my sisters, my brothers, my mother's sister, my mother's brother, they are there. There's a circle around the dead body in the living room. People are sitting there. I mean, if you love the person, it's like it's so difficult to part with the person. That's the picture that is created. You're there all night. You don't even have taste to eat. People have to come and say, no, you can't do that, you know. If you do, you have to drink something. Drink something? What is drink something? Mommy gone. You said drink something. What do you mean by drink something? What is drinking something when my mother is dead? What do you mean by drink something? You see that what we do here is fantastic. And we have to understand it. All night. Dress in black. All parts of your body is covered. You can't do your hair. You can't do your eyebrows. If you do eyebrows, somebody will say, you are a witch. You have killed your mother. Because you are rejoicing. What is about the funeral that you have to put lipstick? Your face is dry. And like if your husband dies in Ghana, 1 year, one solid year, you can't, you have to wear black one solid year. Everywhere you go is black for 1 year. You can't marry within the year. You have to marry after the year. Otherwise, it's like you kill the man for another person. The whole thing is so sad. It is. Oh, so when you compare it to some of the things that we do here, I said you shouldn't die in Guyana. I beg you, when you're about to die, please walk to Suriname or somewhere and just die there. Maybe you'll be treated better. All night, the early morning. I remember my mother. I mean, when my father died. I didn't cry. I said, I'm a man. Men don't cry. When we took his body into the church after the service, and we were taking him to the cemetery, when they took the casket and they put it in the hearse, and they closed it, then I catch myself. The man has gone. Even my father, when my father died, we brought him for the mortuary. We put him on the floor in his house, in our hometown, in our village, on the floor, on a mat, for the body to thaw. So we'll be outside talking and music playing and sitting down and everybody's faces. And then you just want to go and see if he's all right. And you go, big man, daddy, this is lying right there on the floor. You can't touch the body now because if you apply anything, the water, whatever, it will take it away. You ask yourself, is this my father lying on the floor like that? Without clothes? My mother, all night we were there. We tried. The people come and say, come and eat. And do this. Eat? What do you mean by eat? How do you eat when your mother is dead? How do you do cook up when your mother is dead? How do you play domino when your mother is dead? You play domino as a form of game and fun. You are happy fun. You don't play domino when somebody is dead. They play only sad music. When you hear the sad music, you cry by force. They don't play hope music at all. Sad. So around 4 a.m., then my mother's church, the Presbyterian church, the women fellowship, my mother was part of the women fellowship. They dress in their uniform. Yeah, all of them, about 10, 15 of them came from the small church that she was part of at that time. Maybe more than that. They came. And when they enter the yard, then all of them start hollering. And we were sitting on the veranda. Flat houses we have, more flat houses. So they appear and then they start. Oh, 4 a.m. Then the DJ went to put on some sad music. Then I realized that I'm not the man that I thought I was. This woman coming. Everybody in the same attire, crying. We're sitting there all night. At least we try to compose ourselves. You see this woman coming, crying. Then the DJ who brought the music said, put on some sad song. I was there and I realized that my lips were shaking. The tears were falling down my face. I said, no, I can't let people see that I'm not crying. It is the woman who came to start the crying in the house the Saturday morning. We're good. With our mother dead on the bed, dressed up, wig, nice dress, lying down like that all night. I mean, I went to hide in the bedroom and I went to cry my heart out. So the video they made of the whole thing, there was a part that I was missing. I realized that was the part that I was hiding. Hiding and crying. Because when the woman came, then all my siblings, everybody got up. They were all around the body. Everybody crying. I didn't see that scene because I was somewhere doing my own thing. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're going to go one day. You see, we are not very good in remembering that this sad thing is going to happen to all of us. So when it comes to church, our attitude is different. You can imagine how some people come to church, they have cell phones, they can't do this, they're sitting anyhow, their behavior, they can't sing, they can't clap, they can't rejoice, they are in a hurry to go out of the church. Then you realize that, you see, these people, they don't have an idea that one day you are going into the grave and there's something beyond the grave. Something more important beyond the grave. See, the Bible says that, you know, you die when your spirit leaves your body. In Matthew 27 and verse 50, I believe, Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus cried and he gave up the ghost. That is when somebody dies. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Same thing happened to Sapphira. The Bible describes Sapphira's experience in Acts chapter 5. That when Sapphira came in and Peter said about you, your face like cockroach. You and your husband, what did you agree to do? You sold the land for 1.2 million. Your husband came and said you sold it for 800,000. Why did you agree with your husband to do such a thing to God, to the church? Because Ananias and Sapphira went to sell their land. They promised the church that they will give money to the church. They go and sell their land. Now they realize that the money is a little too much. They say, you know what? If we give all this money, what will happen to us tomorrow? So the man and the woman agreed to stash some of the money and come and tell the pastor, Peter, at that time, that this is all the money they got from the sale of the land. The moment the man came and told Peter that this is all the money we got from the land, the Bible says immediately he fell and he died. Peter said that you have lied to the Holy Ghost. Immediately the man died. You see, it's because now we don't die for the lies we say when we come to church. That's why we forget a lot of things about who we are. We are all bad people. We are all people who need grace and mercy. If you see yourself, you think that you are somebody. The Bible says, if a man thinketh that he is something and he is not, he's deceiving himself. What are you? What are you? Come to church, you don't want to come. What are you? Talk to people. And this is the message that God wants us to, you know, send around. Because if we know, why should we keep it to ourselves? And that is why God is going to judge you and I for keeping to ourselves. This message of hell and the grave. And how people are nothing. You see, people don't think about it though. When you see how people walk around, people don't think about death until they die. Yeah. Anytime I sit on the plane, I think about death. I always think that, what about if this thing comes down? It's not a nice thought, but so it makes traveling, flying not such a very pleasant thing. I mean, gone are the days where when you say, I'm going to, oh, traveling, aeroplane, wow, except, no. I prefer. prefer not to travel. I prefer to be in control of the vehicle myself. So that if I make a mistake and I go, then I made a mistake. I can't sit at the back and look at somebody doing something and I don't know what is happening. I feel very uncomfortable. In the last couple of years that I learned to even handle turbulence. When you are flying and then the plane that... You can hold the chair as if the chair will save you. And when you see, it's when you see you see people holding the chair, they realize that you are not ready to die. You are afraid to die. No, think about it. What Air France? There was a very sad story in the history of Air France when an Air France flight took off from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, going to Paris. When it took off, I think about 15 or 20 minutes after they took off, the plane disappeared. The plane came down. Now think about it, if you're in the plane and you are coming down, what do you do? I'm sure some people will poo-poo on themselves. Yeah. You hear a lot of farting. Because as for today, today be today. No, you will be beside yourself. I don't know what word to use to describe the feeling of knowing that you are going to die. And that's what Jesus went through for you and I. He knew he was going to die. And he subjected himself to the death. And you and I cannot sit down and not tell people about that great love, that great determination that Jesus had. Then that is why he died for us. We will not be forgiven by God if you and I don't win souls for God. We will not be forgiven. There's no excuse. There is no excuse. The president of Ghana said the other day, I think when he came into power, he said something. He was making a speech and he said that now Africa or Ghana, we have run out of excuses why we are not developed. And it's true. 60-something years after the white man left, there is no excuse why our countries are not better. Who are you going to blame? Slave trade after 60 years? Who blames the white man after 60 years? Who are we going to blame for Guyana's problems? The white man? They left long ago. They don't even remember where Guyana is anymore. You and I have run out of excuses why people should not hear about Christ. I said, you and I have run out of excuses why people, the souls of people, are not important and should not be important to us. We've run out of excuses. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Why you didn't bring somebody to church? Why you didn't tell somebody about heaven? Why you didn't tell somebody about hell? What excuse do you have? There's no excuse anymore. There's no excuse anymore. There's no excuse. When the spirit leaves, you see, death is an appointment. Hebrews 9:27. Death is an appointment. It's like tomorrow morning you have an appointment for an interview. It's few companies will call off the interview. Even if they don't want to, they will let you come and sit down and just blah, 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 blah. They say, okay, we'll get back to you. They will not get back to you. They've already gotten somebody, but they can't tell you not to come. So they have to follow through the procedure and then just throw you away. The Bible says, and it is appointed. It is closed. It is settled. And ladies and gentlemen, when God says it is appointed, it's not when a man says it is appointed. There are two different seriousness about this appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, beyond the grave, after you die, there is something called judgment. There's something called assessment of people who have entered into this realm. There is something going to happen with you and I when the spirit that lives in us leaves. You just don't die and that's the end of it. If you die, you and I die and that is the end of it, then a chicken is more important than you. Because when a chicken dies, he makes some people happy. KFC gets happy. I mean, when the chicken dies, there's party, there's celebration. So if you die and that is the end of it, we can't do anything with you anymore, then a goat is better than you. But a goat is not better than us, because when you die, that is not the end of it. There is what we call judgment. Just as the Georgetown Magistrate Court, court number 4, some woman will come and say, hey, those people, I fear for them. Those magistrates and lawyers, I fear for them, because one day they will drink their own medicine. As they have told somebody, 3 months imprisonment, 4 months in jail, 10 years in jail. One day when they die, somebody, the one who is the judge of all judges, is going to say, you, hell, you, heaven, you on the right, you on my left. It's going to be judgment. The nice thing that I learned from Bishop a while ago, he said, if there's going to be judgment, then it means that you must still be alive. How can you judge somebody who is dead? You can't judge dead people. So it means that if you and I must face judgment, then when we die here on earth and our spirit moves on, the spirit is not coming back as a dog. The spirit is not coming back as a white lady. The spirit is not going into another realm. That spirit goes to court. And once that spirit goes to God, God knows that it is your spirit that has come. We should tell the world. We should tell the world that there's something beyond the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, we should. You see, it is not if you anymore, let me take you to church anymore. You decide. I'm telling you about what is beyond the grave. It's up to you. You want to make sure that beyond the grave you are secured? Come, let me go. I know how you can sort that out. You don't think about death. You don't think about what is beyond the grave. Sit down in your house. That is why, if you understand it, you will find money and bring yourself to church. You will wake up in the morning and take your Bible and read. You wake up in the morning and pray to your God. Nobody has to tell you, have you read your Bible? Are you coming to church? It's Tuesday evening, come to church. It's Sunday morning, come to church. It's because we forget what is beyond the grave and what is going to be the most important thing when you appear before God. He's going to judge the living and the dead. He's going to judge the living and the dead. He's going to judge the living and the dead. That day will come, but after this death, judgment. Are you preparing for it? Hey, you are preparing so that when housing calls you, you go and pay for your lot. Hey, it's important, but I beg you. You will, but sometimes by the time even you finish, you probably won't be around. You are preparing to go and pay half of your lot when they call you to come to housing. Yeah. You are preparing to build. You are buying materials. You are doing this. I'm going to school so that after when I finish school, I'll be able to earn some money. Hey, please, think about the judgment. Think about what will happen to you when you appear before God. Think of how happy or sad you will be. That's why Jesus spoke about the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were able to stay on and until the time. 5 couldn't. That's what happens to us. Many of us, as time goes on, you get cold. As time goes on, you change. As time goes on, your church life changes. As time goes on, the things you do in church becomes different. As time goes on, you become different. 5 foolish ones and 5 wise ones. The wise ones, they stayed on until the time. Because the judgment is real. Let me read some scriptures to you. And then we'll close.
My, oh my. Beyond the grave. People need to know, you know. People need to know. People need to know. If you are here tonight for the first time, you need to understand this thing. Yeah? You need to understand it. You need to. Oh my. Nobody asked you to come all the way from the East Bank, the West Coast, the East Coast to come to church. No, nobody has to tell you that. If you are going to think about your judgment day. Matthew chapter 25. When a son of man shall come in his glory. You see, you compare it. When people are dying and they are losing what they have lived in this world, worked for and achieved and all of that. Jesus is coming in glory. He's coming the opposite way as we are going. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. When the Son of Man shall come, if Jesus is appearing again, it is going to be glorious. The question is, if you and I appear, is it going to be glorious? We are going down in sadness and in whatever. We are leaving things behind. When Jesus comes, he's coming with a lot of things. And all the holy angels with him. When you are going, who do you go with? It's demons who come with your shoes to come and walk around the house as if you've come back. You can't come back anywhere. All those things about the person, they say, when you go to the cemetery, you should do this. When you pass by burial ground, you should throw something. It's foolishness and nonsense. If the person who is dead, if they were strong, they should have stayed. They shouldn't have died. Don't let some people that manipulate your mind with all kind of old wives' fables. This is a haunted house. The person dead died in a house, so the house is haunted. Haunted? It's demons. You give me $100,000 for free, I'll move in, cry. Furnished. I'll come, cry. Come and live there. You see, Mandoro Moka Braska Tabra Baba haunted. The demon will rather be a haunted demon. You have to find another place to go and hide. We have come in glory with the angels of God. Ah, demon slayer. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. He's going to sit upon the throne. The chair that these people sit on in the magistrate court. Hey, I went to court one day. I was shocked for my life. We were going home. I was going to drop my kids. And one of them asked me a question. Said, oh, daddy, what is that? When I turned to look at what they were saying, not knowing the car in front of me had stopped. Straight into the back of that car. The bumper, something, I don't know what it was. It went in, something like that. Hey, come and see misbehaving. In the morning, everybody's taking their children to school. People are dressed up, official people, important people, unimportant people, cars and all of that. You can't behave like that. It was trying to make me feel bad. I dropped the children. He said, we should go to Isla Penitence Police Station. I said, this thing is not a problem. Hey, police station. So I drove behind him. We went to the police station. Went to the police station. The woman came out and said, where is the damage? The woman said, what is this? He said, no. And the policewoman asked me whether it was true. I said, yes, I hit the car. I mean, I cannot say I didn't hit the car. I said, okay. So, hey, you see, you have to understand police things too. You can easily be locked up. Oh. The things they will use to lock you up, you'll be surprised that something like that exists. Then the lady went to write some papers. Then she said, okay, self-bail. I said, self-bail? What do you mean by bail? I had been arrested and put on bail and I didn't even know. No, the things that happens when a judge sits on his throne, you'll be surprised. So, they give us a court date. So I said, this small, it was even a ram. So somebody's ram, somebody's goat ram, this goat ram, Toyota goat.
So when we went out of the police station, the guy went to touch it. The thing had just gone in. You know, this thing is plastic. So after you touch it, the thing had come back. That was not the problem. So they said, court date. I said, court date. Okay, I'm a Christian. I said, court date. I've hit somebody's car. They said, court. Okay, fine. Let's go to court. So court date came and I went. So my wife knew I was going to the court and she went to work. She, you know, she wanted to come and all of that. I said, okay, you know, you can come later on. I went to court and they called the case after case, and I was there. When my case called, then they asked me to go into the dock. I said, hey, what have I brought myself into? Somebody is sitting on his throne. So I went in there, and then they read, this is on this day, it's guilty or not guilty. I said, oh, guilty. I hate, hey, that was my worst night. That was the bad thing I ever did. A lawyer told me one day, he said, you don't go to court and say you are guilty. I said, but I hate that guy, so when I go, what should I say? They have tricks in the place. You can't take your Christianity to court, oh. I'm advising you, please. When you go and they say, you said, what? Nah, me know about that. Me know that. Your lawyer told me you don't go to court and say guilty. I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I've hit the guy. The guy said we should go to court. Some small damage that somebody can fix, I can pay. That's what we live in Guyana. You hit somebody, you go to the mechanic, you fix it, you pay, done. They say court. Oh, some couple, some Portuguese kind of Douglas type of, oh, very funny kind of couple. I mean, very arrogant. I mean, what is this? My car is bigger and nicer than your car that I hate. So what is about your car that I cannot fix? If you look at the car I'm driving, you must see that I can fix your car. And it's just a bumper, the rear bumper. So when I said guilty, then they said, so fine, something, 20,000 or some 10,000 or something like that. I said, okay. So I said, okay, so where do I pay? They said, no, stand here. So okay. So I was standing there. Then they said, wait, when the one set of cases finished, then we go out. So I thought we're going out to the cashier to pay. The police put a handcuff on my hand and handcuffed it to another person's hand and said, let's go. I said, Lord God Almighty. Pastor Collins, I've come to court to come and pay a fine, only to realize for the first time in my life, after living in this world for how many hundreds of years, the people didn't even come to court. The people did not come to court. The people didn't show up in court. If I know what I know today, if you don't even come to court, why should I stand there and say that I'm guilty? Hey, I had to use scriptures to say, you know what? I am better than this. Left. I think it was a right or something. Hey! Court roundup. Hey! I said, what is this? The cuff, one here, one on the other person. And the policeman said, let's go. It was then that my wife came. You see, you had the money, right? We had to organize the money somehow. I mean, even I had the money. They say, but they are putting me in some dark room. So how do I pay? So we're like that. When we got out of the court, then I saw a young lady and she looked at me. And I said, this lady must know that I am a pastor. She looked at me like that. I mean, I'm sure she was shocked to see. So they brought me in front. You know, the court that is opposite there, is this St. Andrew's Kirk? Went in there down. The way they do the court round up. So I went down. They opened a dark, stinking room. Mary. They push us in there. Took off the handcuffs. Dark like hair. I said, what is this? So if my wife wasn't around that I gave the money to, I stayed in that place for just about 5 minutes, but oh Lord, my God. I said, so is that how they treat people? Is that how these things work? I didn't know. The first time. Now, when the police stop you, say, over speed. Caught. They give it to me. When I drive, I said, your grandfather. Your grandfather.
Caught? Yeah. Come and look for me. The address in my license is on the East Bank Essequibo. Come look for me there. If you find the address, then take me to court. For overspeed? What did overspeed do against you? What bad thing did overspeed do for you? If you have time to take an overspeeding driver to court, then I don't know what kind of work you are doing in your life.
I also learned that. I'm talking about he shall sit upon the throne in his glory. Another time, some officer sang on Regent Street. I was in a car, engine was on. I think it was Alicia. Alicia was bringing something for me from Bipa. So right in front, my car was on. Officer Singh comes with a motorbike and said, you can't park here. I said, oh, I'm just calling. He said, you can't park here. Registration, 7,500. I said, hey, Officer Singh, is that how you are? So the next day, I went to court, the court to pay. Same other court to pay. When I parked my car in front, then some black man came out and said, ah, I know your face. You, I said, me? He said, yeah. I said, no. Then he said, what are you here for? And I said, oh, before I could answer, I said, some policeman gave you a ticket, right? I said, yeah. He said, sing? I said, yes. Are them coolie people? Yeah. So he said, where is the ticket? I brought out. He said, how much is it? 75. He said, give me 2,000, go. I said, I should go? I give you 2,000 and I go? He said, bye. 2,000. I said, so how? He said, man, go. I brought 2,000 and I also go. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, when I drove off, I said, that's why this country can never work. The clerk or whoever, I'm sure this is not his first time. It's his regular business. He comes outside the court. He doesn't even want you to come in so that it becomes difficult for him. He's standing right out there around 8:30 in the morning.
By the time it's 10 o'clock, they don't make you money already.
Because he knows that those paperwork don't go anywhere. If he knew it was going somewhere, he wouldn't do what he's doing. It's for him and Mr. Singh. Mr. Singh is even getting some tithe out of that. Yeah. So when people sit on their thrones, issues, things happen. The Bible says Jesus is coming to sit on his throne of glory. 32, very quickly, we're closing. It says, and before him sitting on his throne, shall gather Guyana, Guyanese, Trinidad and Tobago, Trinidad and Tobagonians. He said, shall gather all nations. Everybody who ever lived will gather before the throne of God. Everybody who ever lived. Your body will be at La Repente, but your spirit will be in front of God. And this is the scary thing, ladies and gentlemen, about beyond the grave. He says that, and he shall separate the nations one from another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So just like the judge in magistrate court, Anita, is that your son? That's your son. Listen to this thing carefully. Just a judge sits on a seat and say, come straight. And said, you are free. That same thing is going to apply to everyone who is dead. There's going to be a separation of the good from the bad. The sheep from the goat. You have to ask yourself, are you a sheep or are you a goat? I can even preach a whole sermon on sheep and goats. I can preach, maybe next week I should preach about sheep and goats. Sheep behave in a different way than goats. The Bible, it is God who says that he will separate the nations just as somebody separates sheep from goats. It means that he is going to look at people's traits, people's lifestyle, the way people are, what people are made of, what people believe in and how they live their lives. He's going to separate people because of their nature and their character. Whether they are born again or not, you have to go to the left or to the right.
He goes on. Actually, the last chapter, probably the last one of the verses. 46. No, maybe 45 first, so that we can understand.
Is it this one?
The one after there, 33. He says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So this is where we always say that the type of hand you use is also very important. Left hand almost means like bad. I mean, if you don't get it, as we go along, you see that those on the left are the ones going to hell. Those on the right are the ones going to heaven. Which means that right hand and left hand is quite significant. So you can't go to number two and use your right hand to clean yourself when you do number two. Should I say it again? And then you eat with the same hand. No, you have to separate the number two hand and number three hand. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father. Hey, I want to hear that voice. Oh. I want to hear that voice. Anybody here wants to hear that voice? Come, you blessed of my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As you and I are seated here, there's a well that is being prepared. Jehovah's Witness will say that, oh, no, there's no heaven, there's no hell, it's going to be earth. There's nothing like earth. There is a new kingdom being prepared for the sheep and the goats, those who belong to God and those who don't belong to God. They should live here. They should continue to live here as Jehovah's Witnesses. If God is preparing a place since the foundation of the world, why do you want to come and tell me that there's no heaven, there's no hell? You're making joke. What does this mean, Maxwell? Oh, we can go to 46. Then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me. You are cursed into everlasting fire. Don't let the Jehovah's Witness people deceive you and say there's no hell. What about this heaven? What is everlasting fire? How can you defend this statement? How can you say this is not true? Can we not read? Can we not read? What is fire? Fire is fire. Everlasting means it has no end. And he says that he will tell those on the left, go to that place that there's fire, that there's no end. So why are you saying there's no hell? There's hell beyond the grave. There's hell beyond the grave. There's a place beyond the grave that has been prepared since the foundations of the world. They are all there. I can mention a country to you right now. You may not even know that it exists. But the fact that you don't know that that country exists doesn't mean that it does not exist. So when we say there's hell, the fact that you have not seen it, doesn't mean that there's no hell. There's hell. And 46 says, as I close, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the message, ladies and gentlemen. This is the message to the world. The sheep will be separated from the goats to everlasting fire or everlasting life. This is the message God has given to us. Let us not sit in church and play church games and find faults with one another and then fight with one another. When we are heading somewhere, I like the song that says, we are going. Heaven knows where we are going. Stand to your feet. We know we will. We will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. And it will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. We are going one more time. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going. We know we will. We know we will. We will get there. We will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. It will be hard. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy, but we will get there. We'll get. Heaven knows how we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. It will be hard. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. Father, tonight, thank you for speaking to us. This is the message. This is why we even entered into the church world to start with. We realized that we were sinners. We realized that we needed a savior. We realized that we want to go to heaven and we must do something about it. That is what introduced us into the kingdom of God, that brought us to church. And that is what is keeping us in church and working and acting and doing the things you have called us and have told us to do. I pray for the church. All I can do, Lord, is to tell them what you asked me to tell them. The rest is up to them. Lord, you are witness. You are witness tonight of what has been spoken. I pray that for your great mercy's sake, none of these ones standing here under the sound of my voice will appear before you having to stammer, having to shake with fear, because that which they knew, they never paid attention to it. Let that not be the story of anyone here tonight. But may we hear that sound, that sweet voice that say, come into the glory of your Father, blessed one. May we win souls. May we have compassion for people who are walking around and not thinking about beyond the grave. Let us show mercy and compassion and spend time and give them time. And Lord, let us do all that we can for the sake of another soul. That is my prayer for our people tonight, oh God. Just for one extra soul. May we do all that we can, so that when we stand before you,
it will be a good experience. Thank you for everyone who has heard this message. And for those who are even going to hear it on podcast, may lives be affected, may hearts be pricked for the sake of this message beyond the grave. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. You are here tonight. Maybe somebody invited you here tonight. Maybe your first time, second time, third time. It doesn't matter. But before you leave tonight, have you thought about where you're going when you die? What happens to you beyond your grave? You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be a sheep and not a goat. I don't want to be separated to go on the left, cursed and going to everlasting fire. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. You are here like that tonight. You want me to pray with you so that you will end up in heaven and not in hell. Just lift up your right hand, please. Pastor, please pray for me. If you're here like that, just your right hand. You know in your heart that beyond the grave, you're not sure. Be sure before you leave tonight. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't be shy. If you think about what is going to happen to you, you will run and respond to what I'm talking about. Now, if you lifted up your hand, I don't want to waste time. You mean it. You're serious. I want to ask you to please come. Walk to me in the front. Come. Come out of your seat. Come. Clap for them as they come. 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 Clap for them as they come. Come. God bless you, sir. God bless you. 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 God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Broken heart, the broke. God bless you. He will take them all. It's not too late. Come to Jesus tonight. The power of God bless you. You want to join them? It's not too late. Come to Jesus tonight. Come, I'm waiting for you for just a few minutes. We are waiting for you. We want to pray with you that you give your heart to Christ. Your life will never be the same again after tonight. Broken heart, the broken life. He will take them all. He will take them all. He will take them all. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus tonight. Clap for the gentleman as he comes. God bless you. God bless you, sir. So you will come. Come to the Father. Oh, don't broken, broken heart, broken life. He will take them all. He will take them all. Thank you, Jesus. The power of the word. The power of His love. And everything was done so you would come. Wow, it's a boys' club tonight. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, these are pastors. These are pastors you're looking at. Yeah. God has a plan for you that you don't know about. When I did what you are doing now, I never knew I would be here like this. If somebody had told me, I would have said, are you lying? You're a liar. I still don't even have the picture completely yet. Because as long as I'm alive, I'm sure God has other things for me. And that is going to be your destiny. That's your plan. That's the plan God has for you. Amen. So close your eyes, bow down your head. Let's pray this prayer together. I'm going to pray. You just say it after me. The Bible says that it is the words that if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, the words you speak, it is through those words that you'll be saved. So as we pray, church, join us as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now. And I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. From tonight, I surrender my life, the ownership of my life, the keys of my life. I surrender it to Jesus Christ. I trust in Jesus. And I believe that Jesus can do it better than I will do. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that by this prayer, I am born again. I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. I am a brand new person. I'm leaving the church tonight as a new person. Thank you, Father. I believe every prayer I have prayed. And thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these gentlemen, these men, these boys, these masculine figures that are brought into your church. They did not just come and then return. They came and they humbled themselves before you. After hearing your word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Something arose up in them because of what they heard. They've come and they've given their lives to you. Father, this is all you want us to do. And therefore, I commit them to you. Every single gentleman standing here, Lord, I commit them to you. I pray your covering will be over their lives. Lord, let this be the beginning of a lifelong relationship with you. May they not fall back into darkness. May they not fall back into the uselessness of this world. Lord, keep them steady on this road to heaven. May they not miss the mark. Go back to where they have come from. Blood of Jesus, I plead over these lives. I pray, Lord, you seal this salvation tonight with the presence of the Holy Ghost. Use them for your glory. Use them for your glory. I know what you have done in these lives tonight. And therefore, I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for these men.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.